1 Samuel 18. The Destructive Nature of Jealousy by Paul Bucknell. Part of a larger series, Behold Our King, God's Constant Presence in Dark Times, an expository series through the book of 1 Samuel. Produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom, www.foundationsforfreedom.net. Releasing God's truth to a new generation.
We've been going through a series, Behold Our King, God's Constant Presence in Dark Times. And it's a challenging series because it's a very personal one, talking about our Christian life. It's one that is calling us to be able to think again what our Christian faith means and a lot of practical Christian life situations. Now today we're looking at the destructive nature of jealousy. Hopefully we don't end there, okay? But we're trying to get beyond it. And yet we have to be honest with the scriptures and see that he actually spends two chapters, though I kind of limited to part of chapter 18 here, 1 Samuel 18, and to be able to see what God has for our lives. So let me continue in a word of prayer as we go on. Lord, we want to thank you that you are the Almighty God who has called us to be your people, to walk in your ways, to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. We just thank you, Lord, for what you are doing, creating a community that has Christ as our fullness. Please, Lord, we pray that you would be patient with us. We pray, God, that you would forgive us of our sins. We ask, God, that you would move us beyond all our struggles and problems, even like jealousy, and move us into the love of God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for this time in your word. Teach us, instruct us, and help each one of us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So today, as I said, we're talking about the destructive nature of jealousy. You'll see 2 points, the origin of jealousy and the outbreak of jealousy. I added a third one here. Jesus conquered jealousy with love. That will be a concluding slide. You see here, jealousy does not live by itself. There's a combination, and we'll see it right through this chapter. And you could read it on through the end of 1 Samuel almost, right to the end. Jealousy is very powerful. It goes, has anger, it has fear, has distortion, it includes all these things when the evil spirit gets in there, you know, murder, and all these type of devices. And probably some of you have felt that jealousy or been that jealous person. And certainly, this will help us to understand more in light of all of this. Let's first look at the origin of jealousy as we look at 1 Samuel 18 verses 1 through 9, and I'll read those scriptures first for us. It says, "Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. And Saul took him that day, David that is, and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword, his bow, and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered. And Saul sent him over the men of war, and it was pleasing in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came about as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the woman came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy and musical instruments. And the woman sang as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" And Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Now, I want to begin here by looking at something a little deeper here, is that God wants our success. Now, you have to be careful. We don't want a worldly definition of success where we're focusing on something we want that makes us great in that sense. We want the success that God has designed for us. He wants us to be that man or woman filled with God's Spirit to carry out His will. And it's always there in terms of loving one another, dedicating ourselves to helping one another. And that becomes our all-consuming focus Once we turn in ourselves, success itself just dwindles and demolishes itself. And this is what we will see in King Saul. And it's a very powerful example that we have here as we look at that. Jealousy will destroy any sense of success, even though jealousy seems to want to gain and make that success. That's what its whole possessing. I want something. I need something to be that person, right? That's the whole understanding behind there. I want to look a little bit more closely at some of these verses here. We'll notice in the first verses, which, yes, could be a full sermon in itself. Here's David's loyal friendship with Jonathan. Jonathan was a general, Saul's son. He was a prince, as a prince, and David's mentor. We see him giving David his belt, his sword. I mean, can you imagine that? The sword that you have won all those battles. You take that sword and give it to someone else. It's like giving him part of his life, you know? And it was. It was. We see that friendship was so deep. We also find that David was loyal to King Saul, going wherever directed. You know, and Saul said, go over there, fight that enemy. He went. He went. Such loyalty. David was highly successful. We find him here not only killing the Philistine, going out killing 10,000s of the enemies. And in fact, if we look carefully, both Saul and David did extremely well. The country was moving ahead. And if you want to talk about prosperity or a good time, people all of a sudden were filled with hope. Now, yes, King Saul did make some mistakes. That was obvious. But still, they can see the enemy, that country that was opposing them all of a sudden, falling to the sides. And Israel being protected, being strengthened. So we see here a good situation, and yet we see here that when Saul looked at it, he viewed David with a lens of jealousy, and it created all sorts of anger and strife. It says that in verse 9, and Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day onward. In other words, that was going to be something that characterizes Saul's life from then on. Now we're going to look more at that. And its whole understanding here. But it is very powerful. So jealousy is the demand to have the attention and associated gifts and applause and achievements of others. It especially comes out when we feel threatened. All right? And so we get critical of other people. We think about those things. I remember once, I'll give an illustration. I was attending a prayer meeting and before church. And then all of a sudden these thoughts and I love Pastor Hugo. He's a good friend, and he was leading the prayer meeting. And some critical thoughts came to my mind. I said, why is he saying that and that? And this happened for several times. And I started thinking about myself. What is going on here? And I sensed that the evil spirit was trying to make me jealous of Pastor Hugo. Hugo, he was doing a great job. And I could look at the fact, no, there's nothing to criticize him. This was the evil spirit planting thoughts in my mind. And so I went up to Pastor Hugo and I said, you know, this is really strange here, but this is what's happening. Will you just pray for me? And once I mentioned that, no longer it happened. You see, jealousy can happen anywhere, even within our church, even with coworkers, and it will destroy a great thing. But we are a people who are bound together, and I'm going to talk more about that. We are a team working together. Now, Satan's going to come in and try to divide us sometimes with strife, with jealousy, and those kind of things. He will be doing that, seeding those thoughts right in our mind, even if we weren't thinking about them at all, even if it's not any basis for it. Now, I think back here. Was there any basis for what's happening with Saul's jealousy? Was David trying to take over the kingdom? No! No, and we see through David's life, he was one of the most loyal people we could ever find. We would want him kind of a friend. He was so loyal, even when King Saul was not being faithful. So jealousy can sneak in anywhere into our lives. Some of you maybe have a sense of that jealousy, and we're going to look at how we can deal with that a little bit more, because it shouldn't be part of our lives at all. Now, some of you say, oh, well, it's not that bad. You know, a little jealousy here, you know, it's just normal. No, it's not normal. Jealousy, Saul started with disobedience. He got worried about his own status. Even though he started that way, God gave him the kingdom. Even though now it's his, he started worrying about it. Saul was fearful. He got jealous. And I want to just suggest here that sin will always seek a deeper slice of our lives, right? It's like more. It wants more. You can't just have a little jealousy. You can't just be a little bit envious of somebody else. No. It doesn't work that way. It will destroy you. It will seek your whole heart. And some people, because of envy or jealousy, they destroy their lives because they're seeking that position, seeking to obtain those things. But it destroys them. They forget why God made them. Oh, it can get much worse. So we don't think that jealousy is innocent or typical or normal. No, no, no. But how should we handle our jealousy and envy? Well, first of all, as I just was saying, stop pretending that it is innocent or neutral. It's not neutral, okay? It's an enemy of our soul. We repent from any jealous pursuits in our heart. If you sense, yeah, I've been talking about that person in a negative way because I want people to look at me more. Oh, I've been jealous. Lord, forgive me. Yes, that's the way we should go, okay? Identify it, destroy it. Okay? It doesn't need to be part of our lives. Now, this is why I want to show you why and how to get there beyond jealousy. Because sometimes you say, I don't want to be jealous, but you get more and more jealous. Yeah, I understand that. Two steps for teamwork. Now, these are contrast lessons. Sometimes you're reading through, say, 1 Samuel 18 and 19, you're saying, well, I don't want to be like Saul. This is not a good example for my life. Now, how do I apply this to my life? Well, I want to give you contrast lessons here. And what I mean is the opposite of what should have happened with Saul, but did not happen. First of all, value and work towards the progress of those around you. Okay? Saul should have valued King David. Okay, at that point. He should have valued him. He's my general. Look at, he's been winning. He's been making the kingdom strong. This guy has been encouraging my son, Jonathan. That's how Saul could have responded, by looking at the facts and appreciating those around him, complimenting him, and offering his daughter maybe as his wife. Yes, be part of my family. Let's be a great family. Do you remember what he did? Yes, you can have my daughter, but I'm going to send you out to battle. He doesn't say this. I'm going to send you out to battle where they're going to kill you. Now, he doesn't say that, but that's what he did. And you can play hard for me. I'm going to take that spear, try to kill you. He did that. You see, there was something that was happening where he could no longer value those people around you. Now, so the first cure for jealousy is to value those around you, treasuring how God has gifted them, their personality, their spiritual gifts, all who they are, realizing they are an essential part of our congregation, our small group, our family, whoever it might be. And we begin to value them. Okay, very different than what King Saul was. He said, David doesn't need to be here. That's the opposite, right? I wish he wasn't here. That's the opposite. Number two, accept the gifts and opportunities for you and for others as God-given. What I mean by this is, for Saul, David was brought into his presence, into the kingdom to strengthen it. That was God's purpose. Not to hurt Saul, but to help build up the kingdom. To bring Saul's heart back to him. But he couldn't see that. He couldn't learn that. Or he was unwilling to. Even though he had many, many opportunities. But you realize the people around you, you know, and some of them are people that you don't want near you, maybe. Why does this person have to be in our small group? Oh, you know, why does this, that's my brother. You know, why does he have to be my brother? I wish anybody but him was my brother or sister or whatever it might be. Can you not understand? God placed you here with that colleague, with that roommate, whoever it might be, with that spouse, maybe. It's that opportunity. There it is. That's that position for you. And if you can accept them for who they are as an opportunity to love them and give to them, then you will just see that teamwork growing. If you see it as, of course, the opposite, you'll be able to see that strife group grow. And I don't want that. I don't need that and things like that. So that's two steps for teamwork contrasting jealousy with love. Contrasting jealousy with love. Now, in the end, the last thing we can do is rewrite temptation into a praise of God's work. Okay? And I'm going to give an example of this. I don't have anyone in mind, don't worry. But we just want to, so he's tempting me, and I want to just turn that into, I want to overcome that sense of jealousy, maybe that's being seeded in me, or already planted in me, and I want to turn that into praise. Lord, I just thank you for my, I'll use my brother here, thank you for my brother. I know I don't stand him. It's, every time he gets near me, I'm so irritated. But I thank you for him, Lord. I do thank you, Lord. I know he does some things that are really important. And I'm so sorry. I shouldn't be jealous of him and things. But I thank you, Lord. Because you use him to encourage those three people there. They've been growing because he's been there. You see what I'm doing? I'm identifying the good that God's doing in his life. We need him. And I'm gonna commit myself to building up that brother and encouraging him. I'm gonna go over and say, you know, because you've been encouraging those three people, it has encouraged me so much. So in other words, instead of being tempted, oh, I'm so jealous, you know, I don't like how people like him, I'm countering all that and enjoying it. I'm taking it in, that's wonderful, and praising God for it, encouraging him. So we rewrite temptation into a praise of God's work. We want to see God all the more be magnified through the love of Christ manifested in brothers and sisters. And just think about yourself. What does God want to do through all of you? He wants his love magnified through your life. Not just a little bit. You say, well, maybe 5% of my life I can show forth Christ. That's not God's goal. He wants 100% to show his love through all of you. And when you open up your eyes, 100%, I'm not even near that. Open up my heart like we've been singing. You have no borders. Open my heart. Flood our hearts with God's love. Let it not be limited. Let it not be cut short by jealousy. But open up. Open up. And it just becomes marvelous how jealousy no longer needs to control us. And we can stop it right when it enters. And all the more we can enjoy our brothers and sisters rather than being in competition or striving with them or jealous of them. Let me go on to the second point, outbreak of jealousy in verses 10 to 17. Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily on Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house while David was playing the harp with his hand, as usual. And a spear was in Saul's hand, and Saul hurled a spear, for he thought, I'll pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and appointed him as a commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was, David, was prospering greatly, he dreaded him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, and he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, here is my older daughter Merab. I'll give her to you as a wife. Only be a valiant man for me and fight the Lord's battles. Now notice how the scriptures gives us this insight into Saul's thinking. For Saul thought, my hand shall not be against him. I'll let the hand of the Philistines be against him. In other words, they'll kill him. So devious, right? You never do that, right? Well, maybe you will. Maybe you do think thoughts like that. You don't need to anymore. You see, Satan will spawn those thoughts in our mind, and our hearts will just grab onto it. But as God's people, we can grow strong and let the Word of God build us up. So notice again, jealousy is like anger in that sense. You have it in you, and if you let it stay there, it will get worse and worse. And we see here with Saul, every time he saw David come back with a victory, what's going to happen? You know, and all the Israel, everybody liking him, you know, and the fear is growing, the worried more. Because at a certain point, when that jealousy takes over in his own life, we find that he started not acting properly. He didn't go out after Goliath, did he? No, he stopped fighting as he should have fought, trying to preserve his life. He started trying to preserve his kingdom rather than his position, rather than being faithful where his focus should have been. So as we think about jealousy here, it's like you can keep it in a box. You can try to keep it small. You know it's not Christ-like. You kind of put the cover on. But at a certain point, if you don't cure it by God's grace and His truth, it will just kind of climb out of the box. That's the outbreak, where jealousy begins to affect our actions. Now we see how it affected Saul's thinking. When it starts affecting your thinking to the point where, especially Saul, he starts saying out loud. You know, what's happening here? They've ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they ascribed thousands. When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he dreaded him. This is where jealousy breaks out, and you start doing all sorts of foul and evil things. Now, Saul was pretending. I love you, David. Yeah, I'll give you my daughter. But you know his thoughts, right? Because he was told that. Imagine wanting to kill your future son-in-law, you know, kind of thing, even before they were married. But it didn't work out that way. And all of a sudden, you know, David, in the end, is married to his daughter. Another daughter, I think. So, but anyways, let's look at this a little bit more, because I want to focus on the place of the evil spirit in jealousy and other sins. As we look at this, it says in verses 9 and 10, and Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. In verse 10, now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God, notice where it came from, evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul. I want to explain that a little bit. At least I want to explain how I work through that and understand that. Back in 16 verse 14, it says, now the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. Saul's servants then said to him, behold, now an evil spirit from God, again states that, evil spirit from God is terrorizing you. So how is it that an evil spirit goes forth from God? I don't know how you work that through in your own mind. I have an understanding that way back a teacher shared with me, and just been able to seem to solve all the issues that might be there in that way. So let me just share. When the Lord vacates, the evil spirit seeks entry. When the light disappears, the darkness enters. Now that's what we read in verse 14 here, isn't it? When the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. And so what we find here is we find that when the spirit of God disappears, when the light goes, the darkness enters. Now we know that physically, is that not true? Shut the light off, boom, darkness. Turn the light on, boom, the darkness disappears. And when the spirit of God, when we disobey God, when we shut our hearts off to God, we are actually turning the lights off one by one. You might think of a house before you go to bed. This light here, that light there. Unless you're all computerized, you push one or say to Siri, shut lights off, you know. all of a sudden. But the point is the same. The point is that the evil spirit will only bother you as much as what? You don't follow the Lord. And you, the way to get rid of these evil spirits, this anger, this jealousy, whatever trouble, the lust that's in your mind, turn to the light. There's no neutral ground for jealousy. You can't say a little bit of jealousy. You cannot stand in the middle. Either you're walking in the light or in the darkness. Either you're committed to loving one another or you're committed to abusing them for your own self. And that's what Saul came down to. Being very selfish, not thinking about Saul's life, not thinking about him at all, and except to just get rid of him for my own status, so that I can remain king. I hope you understand. There's no in-between. We don't want to accept a little jealousy. This is where we have to repent. This is where we have to tame it in. We can't have a little anger. We have to get rid of it. And this is the freedom we have, is to love one another. And love is innocent and pure and awesome because it gets rid of all the anger, gets rid of all the jealousy and disappointment that is there. So when we see that the evil God spirit left him, all of a sudden we find that the evil spirits come in. God is in sovereign control. He is like gravity. You drop something, do you know what's going to happen? I won't do it, but if I drop my phone, boom. Right? Same thing. You know, when you shut down yourself, when you say like Saul, I'm going to persist following, I'm going to be jealous of David from this day on. What are you doing? He so closed his mind to God that the word of God was shut out from him. And the evil spirit was just visiting him, terrorizing him. Now I'm going to get into the whole point of possessing. Possession, can a believer be possessed by the evil one? I have written about that otherwise, and I don't have time here. I don't think it's possible by any means. But can you be terrorized by the evil one? Absolutely. Okay? He's always there to trouble us. So when we look at verse 10 to 16, I just wanted to make some emphasis here from the scripture. Notice that the evil spirit from God came mightily on Saul. And so you can see by this verse how closed, how cold, like steel bars went around Saul's heart. I gotta kill him. You know, you can see when sometimes you make these statements, right? I'll never do anything for that person. Be careful of those statements that close out love and light and truth from your life. If you ever said of those statements, I want you right now to repent for them. Okay? Because those are the things that shut the Spirit of God out and allow the darkness to enter. It is like jailing or selling or walling darkness in with my heart. You don't want to make those absolute statements because that's what Saul did. I'm going to get this guy no matter what. You don't commit your life to doing evil and closing out darkness. You don't want to do that. Otherwise, the evil spirit mightily will come upon you and trouble your life. Saul raved in the midst of the house. Now, biblical counseling came about, we called it biblical counseling, back in the late 60s, 70s. And there's two good training schools. If you're ever interested in doing more of that, you don't need to go to seminary. They have it in special weekends. But, you know, biblical counseling takes in observations that the regular counseling world is totally unaware of. And what we find here is, did you notice that his supposedly like bipolar status, okay, Saul, why did he have it? Was it just a chemical imbalance? Is this what we find here? No, God has given us insight into how people think, into spirit, the light, the truth, the darkness, into the spiritual world, and he's given us an understanding that the observation of man is not just a physical understanding of person. It involves much, much more. Relationships included. So what we find, and I'm just trying to point this out to you, don't be naive and believe what they're teaching you at college when they don't believe in the spirit world and they seem to have it all wrapped up. This is what you do. Give them a prescription. They'll go home. No. Okay? As God's people, we're here to bring truth, forgiveness. Get rid of the root of the jealousy is what we're focusing on here. And also, Saul was afraid of David. It's interesting, right? We see this a trend in his life that he never cured was that insecurity, that fear. David actually should have been the one that was afraid, don't you think? Spear. Oh, you know. Okay, I'm afraid. But it was actually Saul that was afraid. So sometimes it seems like the bold people, the aggressive people are the ones that are so bold, but actually they're often the ones that are so fearful. So fearful. Now, I haven't spoken much about David's side of these things, okay? I've been speaking about Saul. I've been speaking about having jealousy, handling jealousy. But what do you do if you're on the receiving side, like David was? And I'll just make some observations here and then focus on the third point. David was playing the harp as usual. Can we just say here, someone might be jealous of you. Just live on life as much as you can. David was there. If necessary, God will provide an escape for you, like he did in this case. And not only that, God used Saul's fear to actually reposition him somewhere else, so he wasn't even near him. So in this sense, we see how, for David, God provided for him. He didn't need to worry. He could trust God even when difficult situations were happening. What about yourself? Is there any of that jealousy in you? Okay. You know, are you wondering why are things not working out? Have you closed your heart to God? Have you, like Saul, somehow said, I gotta get that person. I hope you don't be like that. We want to close this time by thinking about Jesus. Now we do know in Mark 15, 9 to 10, how Pilate answered them saying, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? For he was aware that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. You know, Jesus himself suffered at the hands of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the whole religious community. They should have been aware, wow, this guy's a great teacher of God's word. Praise God. Invite him into the temple to teach. No, they were jealous. They were trying to do away with him, just like Saul was trying to do away with David. So jealousy is seen in the devious way one strives to maintain one's position at the expense of others, not valuing God's plan for others. In this case, they killed Jesus. They didn't value him. They couldn't see him for who he was. They killed him. Love is not jealous. Is that what it says in Scripture? Yes. Love is not jealous. Jesus, however, found success in helping others, even at the expense of his own life, dying so that God's great plans can be lived out by them. We want to just thank the Lord how Jesus used love to conquer jealousy, to protect himself. You see, Jesus should have responded. He was the king. He was the anointed one. People should have, like the week before, Hosanna, Hosanna. People should have responded to him perpetually. But they turned aside. They were not giving Jesus that attention. They were not. And Jesus could easily have been jealous. You can imagine how much jealousy there was. Satan, even Satan came up to him. Don't you think you're too good for this? You know who you are. You know, don't you think you should call the angels down? Jesus said, no. The point is, he did not let protection of his position to be there to that point so that he would hurt others. He saw that he wanted to die for his people, for us, on the cross to suffer, even though it was totally unjust suffering, so that we could have life. Do you see his difference? Instead of being jealous of his position, he gave up his position, trusting God that dying on the cross was the best. And by that, his love would extend out to our lives. This is what we find so awesome in the person of Jesus, who was not jealous and was not fearful of the jealousy of others, but stood firm and is a wonderful example for us. I mean, he could have. He, in one sense, should have, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, never been mocked, never had that crown of thorns put on his head. This is Jesus. This is our Savior. I just want to close with just a few points here. Are you jealous of anybody? If so, just repent from it. Or if it happens in the future, just repent and begin to love them more. It's kind of simple. Value them. So accept the gifts and opportunities God's given you. Remember, he can give you a professorship, and he can take away your $1 million. That's not yours. He gives, he takes away. Your life, your joy is not dependent on those things, but your opportunity to love those who even hate you. Give. Redefine success to mean that you're committed to love one others in whatever situation you find. What did Jesus say on the cross? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Do you see this awesome, wonderful example of our Savior? How can you not follow Jesus? Some of you out there are not following Jesus. Why? What are you doubting? He's the one that loves. He's the one that has so committed himself to bettering us, our lives. This is our awesome God.
Let us pray. Lord, we have seen how horrible jealousy is, as well as the power of love. We ask, Lord, for forgiveness wherever we have given our hearts to jealousy, to trying to take away from others and the gifts you've given them to boost us up. We pray for a greater faith and confidence in the work that you're doing in all your people, that we might bless them, encourage them, and challenge them to even reach greater heights. As for us, Lord, continue, Lord, to unfold your great plans for us, that we might be able to do all that you have created us for. We are yours. We're nothing without you. Now may your grace fill our hearts with your love to carry out your awesome and glorious plan. In Christ we pray. Amen.
This concludes this message on 1 Samuel 18, The Destructive Nature of Jealousy by Paul Bucknell. Part of a larger series, Behold Our King, God's Constant Presence in Dark Times, an expository series on 1 Samuel. Produced by Biblical Foundations for Freedom, www.foundationsforfreedom.net, releasing God's truth to a new generation.